Praise the Lord. Well, a lot going on, ain't there? I guess I should probably address a couple of things. Of course, you heard what's going on in Houston. If y'all heard that, and I'm not going to make a big issue out of it, but they've made a big issue out of it. You know, when the government starts saying they want to see pastor's notes, what he's going to preach on Sunday morning, because it might be inflammatory or not politically correct. I did a little research in my office this morning, because when you got a computer, you can find out all kinds of stuff. And I looked into Soviet Union before the Iron Curtain came down. They did exactly the same thing. They had a state church that was safe to go to, and then they had the church that preached out of the Bible that was not safe to go to, so they had to go underground, same as in China. And praise God, we're not at that point yet, but I remembered in my memory somewhere, I remembered that I thought Planned Parenthood built the largest Planned Parenthood in Houston, Texas, and which is an abortion clinic. It's a huge, not only birth control, it's a huge abortion clinic, and it's got all these different offices in there that doctors, I mean, it's a huge building, $25, $30 million building. And it was dedicated in 2010, and that mayor was there at the dedication and spoke on it. And anyway, I remember there was a huge uprising about that in 2010. So to say all that is that, praise the Lord, homosexuals, lesbians, gay, transgender, you are welcome at Faith Harvest Assembly. Praise the Lord, you are welcome. The door is wide open to you. And it goes the same for people that have had abortions. There's a wall down there commemorating unborn children that says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Jeremiah, is it 8:25? It's on the wall. I should know it. But anyway, that does not change the fact that we would tell you not to get an abortion because it's murder. Because the Bible would say that. And it doesn't change the fact that homosexuality is sin. And I was listening, I hate this show, but there's a show on called The Moral Side of the News. I don't know if you've ever heard it. It's on WHAS, and they've got a panel of, they've got a rabbi, they've got a Baptist preacher, they've got a some kind of liberal person, and a Jewish. And this morning they even had a, I guess, what do they call the people over a mosque, an imam? Anyway, they had one of them on there this morning, and they were like skirting around. They were talking about the deal going on in Houston. And I'm going, well, the one, you could tell one was like, rah, you know, the Bible says it's wrong, it's wrong. We love them. Praise the Lord. We love them. But the Bible, there's no changing what the Bible says. And then others got up and said, well, the New Testament doesn't, you know, it changed everything. And Jesus, and you know, all that. And I was just thinking, Jesus said the most inflammatory statements, like, the road to heaven is straight and narrow, and the road to hell is wide as a freeway, right? He said, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. He said, it would be better for you if you were thrown into off a mountain with weights on you into the ocean than to offend one of these little ones. He said, he talked about Lazarus in hell. He talked about inflammatory stuff that might wound your psyche real bad. Real bad. Real bad. Jesus said some very unkind things in the New Testament. Not unkind, it was merciful. Like, I'm telling you the truth so you don't have to face this place, right? And you know what the interesting thing? I think there was one pastor, I think he was probably a Baptist pastor, and he took a stand, and I think there was a lady representing the Jewish, and she was like wishy-washy, just that don't apply no more. And she was using the New Testament. And The rest of them were just kind of like non-committal. It's like you could tell, you know, you could tell they probably believed it was wrong, but they didn't want to take a stand because they didn't want to, you know, they didn't want to distance themselves from the crowd. I'm thinking, man. And then this Muslim gets on there and he says, well, according to the Holy Quran, all sexual sin outside of marriage is wrong. So it's wrong. So the Muslim, you know, I'm like, well, you know, I totally disagree with the Quran, but still took a stand for what they believe, see. And anyway, I just wanted to tell you where I stand. I stand for what the Bible says. Not my interpretation of the Bible, hopefully. I don't think there's any interpretation about certain things. It's just read the Living Bible, read the New Living Translation, and it pretty well makes everything really, really simple. So, anyway, do we have classes today? I wanted to get all that out before the classes left in case you... But we do, really, we need to pray because y'all might think, well, that's really insignificant, but I am telling you, there's a time coming very, very soon if some people don't stand up for liberty and they don't stand up for the Constitution. And see, that's the thing. Constitutionally, that is wrong. But we've had a government and a president that has continually ripped the Constitution apart for the last 6 or 7 years, just like rip. It's just like that king, I can't remember his name. Donna, you might. It wasn't Lemuel. But he sat beside the fire one night, and he didn't have nothing better to do, so he's going through the Hebrew Scriptures. What, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. He was going through there, and he took a knife, and he cut out every little verse that he didn't like, and he threw it in the fire. And that's what's been done to the Constitution. Cut out every little thing that you don't agree with. I'm just telling you, and y'all might laugh at me, but what's fixing to happen is if people don't rise up and mount up, like I think the pastors in Texas are rising up. I think there's going to be a flood. You know, I think they went to the wrong state to do that. You know, they probably should have went somewhere else to rise up something like that. But what's going to happen is the church, the government's going to say, okay, you don't have to perform homosexual weddings, but we're going to take away your tax-exempt status. I say have it. It's a great benefit. It's a wonderful benefit for the church. But you know what? They are not going to own us because of some money. And I just think if we'll rise up, I don't think that's got to happen. What do you think, Fred? You agree, don't you? You're not mad at me, are you? He agrees. Yes, he does. But and the next thing, and this was, when did I go to Canada to visit the revival, Toronto? Oh, it's been a long time ago. Over 10 years, I went to Toronto, and I was reading the newspaper. And at that time, they were throwing pastors. This is out of the newspaper. This isn't something you read on That's Incredible or some. And another thing, guys, before you post stuff on Facebook, please check it out because it makes us look so stupid. Okay? Just check it out. But anyway, this was right out of the newspaper, the Toronto whatever. And they were actually throwing pastors in jail for preaching out of Romans 1. And this was 10 years ago. So we're kind of going where they were, you know. And I personally don't want to go to jail. But since this is on the World Wide Web, have at it. I could tell you not to post this part of the sermon, but please do. Please do. So much for harassment, huh? How y'all doing? good. Good, good, good. Okay. Mary, would you pray for us?
Please, oh Lord.
Yes, you can speak in tongues. Anybody be offended by that? Don't matter.
I have You'll to speak it. In tongues.
Let's stand up. Let's agree.
Jesus.
Oh, pray for all those ones that are out there in the bushes this morning, sleeping in bed and couldn't get out. Praise the Lord.
I just hear that scripture. It's high time to arise. How's it go? It's high time to arise. And how's it go? I can't remember. But I just keep hearing that. It's high time to arise. Lord, I just pray that you wake us up, Jesus. Wake us up, Lord. Wake up your people, Lord. Wake up the church, God. Help us, Lord. Wake us up, Lord. Shake your people, Lord Jesus. I just pray, God, that you would just move mightily, Lord, on the body of Christ right now, Lord God, on America right now. We just pray, Lord, you have mercy, Lord, and wake up your bride, Lord. And God, I just pray they would begin to take a stand, Lord. Lord, and God, not bow down to this stuff. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, Lord. Make your people strong, Lord. Prepare your people's hearts, Lord. Let our lamps be full of oil, God. Lord, I just ask for this church, Lord, that you pour out your fire, Lord, on us, God, that we would be alert and awake in the Spirit, God, and that the fire of Elijah would be upon our hearts, God, that we will, Lord, be full of oil, God, that we will run over with oil, Lord, and out of the abundance our mouth will speak, and we will do your will, and we will do your works, Lord, out of the abundance of our heart, God. Fill our hearts, Lord. We need your fresh anointing. We need your fresh fire at Faith Harvest, Lord. We call it down, Lord. We thank you that you've given us that, Lord. You've given us that authority, Lord, that we can have whatever we ask in Jesus' name. And we say more, Lord, more. We need more of you and less of us, God, more of you. And Lord, we pray for every person that's not here today, God, that you fill them even wherever they're at right now, that you just come upon them, Lord, and just fill them with your Spirit. Let the anointing of God just come in their room, Lord, and minister to them, whatever they're going through, Lord. I just pray that you just give them grace today and just a fresh touch, a fresh anointing right now, God. And I thank you for that fire on this service, Lord. And for every person that needs healed, God, we ask for your healing anointing to be released over this church, Lord, for signs, wonders, and miracles. Signs, wonders, and miracles to follow the preaching of the word, to confirm the word, God, that you are mighty and you are good, Lord, and you are holy, God, and you desire to bring your goodness, Lord. You came to give life and life more abundantly. You came to bring freedom to the captive, Lord, to those who are bound up and in prison and in chains and blind. You came to set them free, Jesus. And I thank you for your goodness in this house today, Lord, and your freedom, God. And Lord, just freedom to worship you, Lord. Freedom to just worship you with our whole heart, God. Our whole heart will give to you, Lord. I just thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for this church. Bless Pastor Mark and Donna, Lord. Bless Pastor Mark on his birthday week. Just give him more, Lord, more, Lord, more, Lord, more, Lord, more, 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 more. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Pour it out, God. Pour it out, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord. Y'all agree with me. God, we pray for the pastors in Houston, Texas, right now. In Texas, they will mount up, they will rise up, they will take this as a call to wake up, Lord. Not only the pastors, but the congregations will rise up, they'll march in the streets, God. They'll do incredible, they'll take a stand that the news media can't ignore, God. It'll be so big, it's like a groundswell of your people rising up, saying, this far and no more. This far and no further. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And remember, I think for a long time they probably said in Texas, remember the Alamo. Well, maybe it'll be remember Houston. By the way, named after Sam Houston, who brought them into liberty from, praise the Lord. Don't sit down. We're not going to have a history lesson. Well, we are. We're going to read the Bible, aren't we? Praise the Lord. That was refreshing, Mary. I needed that. I needed that. Oh, Lord, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you will be put to shame. All who wait from you, written in the dust will be their name. They have forsaken the Lord. They have forsaken the stream of living water. Heal me, Lord, and I'll be healed. Save me, Lord, and I'll be saved. You are the one that I praise. Your glorious throne is our place of sanctuary. Praise the Lord. I love that song. Some of y'all don't even know that song, do you? It's scripture. It's out of Isaiah or Jeremiah. Out of what? Well, you look it up for me. That'd be a good thing to know. Prepare the way. That's what I'm going to call this. I usually don't call it anything, but prepare the way. I'm not going to tell, you know, you. I'm not going to give you time to turn there, so just write it down if you want to. Matthew 3:1-3, in those days John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord and make his path straight. And I looked up prepare the way of the Lord, and I looked it up in the Strong's and everything. And when they prepared the way of the Lord, the word prepare, before a king went to visit a city, he went to a town, he went, say he was coming to Greenville. He would send out a troop in front of him, and they would have all kinds of road working equipment, I guess back then, like shovels and slaves and whatever they used. But they would go and they would prepare the road. They would fill in the low places. They would cut down the high places. They would make it so it would be a smooth ride for the king to come in. And that's what, when the Word of God says that John the Baptist was to prepare the way of the Lord, he was to tear down the low, fill in the low places with repentance. People would come and they would bow in repentance and they would come and be water baptized. And God said, prepare the way of the king. Prepare the way for the king to come and pour out his gifts. Prepare the way of the king to come and give his presence. Praise the Lord. If that makes sense at all. It did to me. 1 Samuel. I'm going to let y'all look this up. 1 Samuel 15. 1 Samuel 15, verse 22. Y'all got it? 15:22, has the Lord a greater delight in burnt offering and sacrifices and as in obeying the voice of the Lord? And y'all know this verse, behold, to obey is what? Better than sacrifice. Let's say it again. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. Let's say it again. To obey is better than sacrifice. Is that clear? God wants your obedience more than he wants your money. God wants your obedience more than he wants you to do things for Him. I mean, He wants you to do the gospel. He wants you to preach the gospel. He wants you to go out into all the world. But praise God, God wants you to obey Him. Right? Right? And not only does He want you to obey Him, Sarah, He wants you to do it quickly, instantly. Now that's kind of, we don't like doing things instantly in America. He wants your instant obedience because if you ever, let me, and I know I've talked to this before, but if you ever had God show you just clear as a bell, God showed you to do something and it was kind of weird and it was going to kind of take you out of your comfort zone. Has anybody ever had God show you do that? Really? Is that all? How many of y'all, honestly, have had God show you do something that's, okay, let's not say weird. Let's say it's something you don't want to do. Would that get more hands? Okay. And how many of y'all have pondered on it and prayed if it was God's will, since He already showed you, but you pondered on it and you thought about it and you fasted and prayed and seek God's face, and a week later you went, okay, I'll do it, God. And so you go and do it, but you're out of season now, and you come out looking like a big idiot. God said, do it now. It was the perfect time. The ground had been prepared for what He wanted you to do. And I'm not saying, hey, you know, God was pleased that you went on and finally did it, but you know that you didn't get the reward. You didn't get the reward that you would have got for doing it. And like we used to have on our refrigerator, I've told you this, but it was, I know, but I'm trying to think of the evangelist. Yeah, it was Joyce Myers' husband. What's his name? Dave. He never gets no say in nothing, but we used to get a newsletter from them, and it was called Dave's Nuggets. And that's all you ever got was this little Dave's Nuggets. And he had this one little quippy thing we put on our refrigerator. It said, instant obedience is spiritual warfare. I'm thinking, that's incredible if you think about it. That's the first line of defense when God shows you to do something. Of course, if you're not getting in the secret place anymore, you're not hearing Him much anyway. If you just come to church on Sunday and get your, you know, you're not getting a whole, you're not getting a whole lot. But you need to hear right from the throne room of God. So, praise the Lord. I need to anyway, and I have to go out. I'm one of those that has to go out in the woods and spend time with the Lord. And boy, Donna and I had a really good trip. We did. We went to Red River Gorge, and we stayed in this. We found this cabin that it actually, you could see the trails that we walked on, Brittany, the trails that we walked on, you could actually see them. The trails we were on, Shelby and Evan, you could actually see that Lover's Leap and all that from our cabin, and you could see our cabin over there from Lover's Leap, but it was a piece off, so it was really cool. But we went out hiking several times. We hiked some of the trails we hiked, and it about killed us. And Donna said, how'd you do this with the young people plus one more? I said, well, I just sheer gutted it out because I wasn't going to look like... Pride is what kept me going with the young people. And we were both gasping. It's like I don't have nothing to pull me up, you know. But it just shows you how... Oh, anyway, we need to get our bodies back in shape too. We really do. I think we're going to need them. I think we're going to need them. Okay, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion, what's rebellion? What's he talking about here? He's talking about obedience, so what would rebellion be? Disobedience or ignoring. Yeah, it goes one further. It's not just disobeying God, it's not obeying God. Does that make sense? And that takes it to a whole different realm. You know, you can keep the law, but when He shows you to do something, that's like, here, this is what I have for you because you're my hands, you're my feet, and you're going to get things done for me. But Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Whoa! And sometimes we'll go, well, I'm just stubborn. You don't, probably don't want to be just stubborn. It's not a real good thing, you know. There's a good thing about holding on to what you believe in. Now, I don't know that that would be called stubbornness. That would be called more like tenacity. Good word for it. Stubbornness is iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, He also has rejected you from being king. Do y'all remember what happened? Saul went out and won a great victory. Remember? God just anointed them and they took out, they were doing some heights. I'm not sure which ones. But they went in, and before they went in, Samuel the prophet, the Lord had showed him, don't take anything. Kill the women, kill the children, kill the animals, kill everything, and take no spoils. Take no animals. And Samuel comes up after the battle, and old Saul, he's just proud as can be, man, we just won a big battle. Praise the Lord. This is awesome. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jehovah. Thank you. Hey! Samuel goes, he's just standing there quietly for a second, and he goes, meh, meh. What is that? Well, I just kept some of the best cattle, the finest sheep for a sacrifice as unto the Lord. Of course, God was just so pleased. Didn't I tell you to kill everything? And that's where obedience is better than sacrifice. See? He was going to provide a great, he was going to make his big deal out of a big sacrifice to God, Jehovah God. But he really was proud and he wanted to make a big show, I suppose. But anyway, God was not pleased. And right after that, he said, your anointing to be king is stripped off of you. Wasn't David already, had he already been anointed to be king previous to this? So it was just a matter of time. And the guy, you know, Saul got demonically possessed. Would you believe that? When you throw a spirit, your little guy playing a harp and pin him up against the wall, said he went into fits of rage and the only thing that could calm him down was anointed music. Remember that, Sarah. You might need that someday. Anointed music. You might need that someday, brother. Anointed music. Praise the Lord. It does calm the demon down, but it don't shed him, does it? So praise the Lord. 1 Peter 4:17. Y'all know this scripture. You really don't even have to look it up. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will the end be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? So right now, I think these tests that are coming up for the church right now, are we going to pass or are we going to fail? If we pass, the blessings of God will be on the house of God. If we fail, the curses will be on the house of God because we have denied what the Word of God said. And there's going to be, listen, there's going to be a remnant. There's going to be a remnant of churches. There's going to be a remnant of people in every church that are going to stand for what God says. Praise the Lord. Because I know people in denominations that you would say they're just, you know, they're pretty much reprobate. But yet, there's people in those churches that love Jesus. Man, I know them. They love Jesus. They're warriors. They're intercessors. And God, you know, with all these prayer meetings that are coming together, you know, they're starting to form. These prayer meetings, all different denominations. It started with, I won't say it started with, but the Highway 150 corridor, we've been praying together for 7 years? Couldn't be. 7 years we've been praying for revival. Just a handful of little bitty churches believing for revival. And now I got it's been several weeks ago, I told y'all, Dave Ledger, I got an email from him saying they were going to start meeting and praying. And I went to one of their prayer meetings, Methodist, Baptist, Pentecostals. I mean, just all praying for one thing, revival. So God is lifting up a remnant right now. and it's going to be a mighty, mighty army. Praise the Lord. Y'all agree it's going to be a mighty army? Not like you think. I heard Steve Hill say this one time. He said, there's not as many of you as you think there is. There's not as many of y'all as you think there is. And when the heat comes, and when the dung hits the fan, I'm excited. You know, I've been praying about this the whole time I've been saved. I should be jumping up and down and doing twirls and spins, but I can't do that too well anymore. I have been, Donna, you can ask Donna, I have been praying for these days to come ever since we believed. When I first came into the kingdom of God, I believed Jesus was coming back today. I was so excited because Bible prophecy is what moved me. Praise the Lord. Good stuff. Jesus is coming. And I'd sit there in Matthew 24 and say, look at this sign, look at this sign, look at this sign, look at this sign. And then you get kind of weary and dull and you just kind of, I'm like, man, if I was reading this for the first time now, I would be like insane. Like, he's coming tomorrow. He's coming today. I mean, God is incredible things. And I told Donna, I know I told everybody 30 whatever years ago. I don't even remember. It's been a long time. I said, the one thing that'll bring America to her knees is money. If everything falls apart, that's the one thing. And I pray for mercy. I don't want that to happen. I like pizza. I like steak. I like being able to put gas in my... We all like money. We all like what it can buy. But you know what? If it brings revival for everything to fall apart, praise the Lord. If that's what it... Every time Israel come back to God, it took judgment. I don't want judgment. We don't want judgment, do we? Lord, give us mercy. Give us mercy in the face of judgment, Jesus. Right. The time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will the end be for those who do not obey the gospel? And I wrote something down the Lord showed me. It's probably been said before, but I'd never heard it. The fear of man is in direct proportion to the absence of the fear of God. Think about that. Selah on that for a second. God spoke that to me in the woods yesterday. I'm going, wow. The fear of man is in direct proportion to the absence of the fear of God. In other words, the more you fear God, the less you will fear man. And the more you fear man, the less you'll fear God. And it's just totally that way, you know, if you think about it. Matthew 10:28, do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him, capital H, who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered, even mine. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. I'm going to read you. I think I've only got one more scripture. Hey, then it's chicken time. Luke 10. Don't laugh at me, Nina. I'm embarrassed now. Luke 10:39. This is kind of lengthy, but it's worth it. And this is talking about Martha and Mary. She had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen the good part, which will not be taken away from her. Now it came to pass as he was praying, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. So he said to them, when you pray. And I was just thinking, you know, we went to, I think it was Evangel. My Lord, it's probably been 20 years ago, I'm guessing. But there was a fellow, he used to have a TV ministry. His name was Larry Lee. I don't know if y'all remember him. But he had a teaching on praying the Lord's Prayer. And I remember Don and I, we would get together in the mornings before work and we would try to pray that way. And it revolutionized your prayer life because remember when Jesus was, he was in the Valley of Decision, he was up there, he was in the Garden of Gethsemane crying out to God, saying, just sweating drops of blood. And he said, and the disciples, he said, stay, watch and pray, right? And they all fell asleep. And that happened like two times, three times. And he said, could you not watch and pray with me for 1 hour? And that was pretty much the teaching. And I hadn't really forgot this, but I thought this would be a good thing for us to put into practice because we really need every day to start in prayer. We need every day to start in the Bible. We need every day like that. And if you do that, you'll have wisdom for the day. You'll have anointing on your life for the day. You'll have everything you need, no matter what kind of situation you come against. You'll be prepared for the day. And he said, our Father who art in heaven, meet all our daily needs, God. Isn't that what he said? Isn't that what he said? Our Father who art in heaven, give us our daily bread. Is that what he said? Is that what he said? It's not what he said. But that's, I'm not saying we because y'all may never do this, but we tend to come to God when we're up against the wall. And this is not, you know, for years and years, when I went to church as a little boy, I thought the Lord's Prayer was just, I thought it was something the church made up that we all said together. In fact, let's say it together. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
And if you were Catholic, I think you left out, for thine is the, that wasn't in there, right? Well, it don't matter. I just remember sometimes when you're praying with a group of people like that, some people will stop. I remember I was in a funeral at the Catholic church, and I'm still going, you know, I'm rolling. And they're like, uh-oh, I done stepped over the line here. But it starts out, our Father in heaven. First you recognize that He's God. First you recognize He's the creator of all things. First, you recognize every good and perfect gift is poured out from the Father of lights, right? And it says, hallowed be your name. What's hallowed mean? Holy. Praise be to you. Thanks be to you. So you start out acknowledging God. You start out thanking God. If you do this in the morning, I'm going to do this in the morning. Will y'all do this in the morning? Just start thanking God. Thank you, God, for the house, God. Thank you for the food I have this morning, God. Thank you for creating this earth. Thank you, I live in a free place, God. Just start thanking Him and thanking Him, and then you praise Him. You praise Him. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. I will rejoice. Y'all don't know that one? And be glad in it, and be glad in it.
This is the day that the Lord has made.
made in Tallahassee.
Glad in it. Lord has made. It don't have to be complicated. You don't have to be a psalmist like Jamie or Sarah. You don't have to be that. He just wants to hear your voice. Who was it teaching about praise and worship, Donna, when we was up at Cincinnati? Leonard Jones from Morningstar. Y'all familiar with him? Woo, I love Morningstar. But he's going, look, man, God gave you a voice. He gave you just the voice he wants to hear. He said, the sound of heaven's not complete without it. It's not. And you don't need to care what anybody next to you thinks, man. You need to belt it out during worship. Wouldn't you rather people belt out of key than just pout? Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you rather people belt out? Man, if I was king and I was up here and people were supposed to be, you know, if I had a, there, I won't say it. If I was up here on a platform and I was king and people were like, you know, it's okay, it's time to worship Mark. Yay! And everybody's, yay! And they got shofars and they're hollering and screaming. Then they're going to sing a song to me. And I look out there and Jamie's not singing. I'm like, off with his head. Off with their head. Off with their head. Off with their head. Of course, God's merciful. He's not like that. He knows you're insecure. He does. You know, we got this insecurity. We don't need it. God has forgiven us. God has cleansed us. God said, I'm your father. You are my son. You are my daughter. I'm pleased with your voice, whether you know it or not. So you start off the day with praise. Praise to the Lord. Praise to the Lord. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you.
Oh God, you are my God, and I
will ever praise you. Seek you in the morning, and I will learn to walk in your ways, and step by step.
All of my days.
I will follow you all of my days.
I will follow you all of my days. Step by step.
You lead me, and I will follow you all of my days. And whatever song it is, whether it's the Newsboys or whatever, gets you closer to God, you know? As long as it's not Stairway to Heaven, okay? Just something to get you closer to God. Father in heaven, we thank you. Praise be to your name. Hallowed be to your name. Are you explaining Stairway to Heaven, Sarah? You shouldn't know about that. You shouldn't know about that. Okay, hallowed be your name. Praise you. Y'all got it so far. What happens first? We get up and what? Thank you, Jesus! Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And then what? Sing a couple praise tunes to him. Praise tunes. And then, God, I come into agreement with you. I ask that your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. So what are we calling for when we ask for his kingdom to come? How can his kingdom come to earth? Through us. He could, sure, he could just pour out, he could send angels. And sometimes he does send angels out to do his work. But 99% of the time, Evan, it's you. It's you he's sent to do. Praise God, that's why he said, greater work shall you do than I have even done. Greater meaning bigger, but greater also meaning more. So a lot more works are going to get done if there's millions and millions of workers doing the works, right? So we pray for God's kingdom to come, and we pray that his will is done. Where? Right here on earth. Right here on earth. Right here on earth. When I grew up in the church, you know what I thought? Heaven's where all those things happen. Hey, you know what? There's no need for people to get healed in heaven. Right. Nobody's sick in heaven. Right. Nobody's died prematurely in heaven. Nobody's in sin in heaven. Nobody's backslidden in heaven. Nobody's getting ready to go to hell in heaven. Right here on earth is where the kingdom of God needs to come. No sickness. No sickness in heaven. So that's God's will, and that's God's kingdom. That's God's will for you, sis. I know that's His will for you. How does the enemy get in and do that? I don't know. He messed my back up a couple, 3 years ago, but praise God, He fixed it. Thank you, Jesus. I'm not walking around. You know, they told me basically, you're going to be in pain the rest of your life, severe pain. And we could operate on you, and we give you a 50% chance it'll be better, but it could be worse. I'm like, oh, that ain't going to happen. I don't feel lucky today. You know, so God had to show up or I was going to be in pain the rest of my life. I give praise to God. He healed me. I give praise to God. Y'all got a little baby coming. Praise the Lord. Not y'all, but, or do you? No. I thought maybe she stepped out with nausea or something. I didn't know. Come on, I'll get this out. Y'all can look at something in the Bible and get it in the right order. Number one, what? Thank Him. Thank Him, thank Him, thank Him. Number two, praise Him, worship Him. Number three, your kingdom come. Pray that His kingdom come in you on earth. You're earth, aren't you? You're made out of dust. Praise the Lord. His kingdom come. His will be done right here on earth. Right here as it is in heaven. I know y'all thinking about that greasy chicken. It won't be but a minute. Okay, and a distant number five. Give us day by day, give us this day our daily bread. Lord Jesus, we need a new tire. Amen? Lord Jesus, the washing machine's broke. And even better than that, you can pray that He will rebuke the devourer so he can't get a head start on stuff like that. Because we've all went through seasons, haven't we, where things are break. And I think it's a tax, you know. But anyway, pray that He'll meet our needs, our daily bread. And contrary to popular belief, that doesn't say I'll be rich and independently wealthy. That's not what it says. It says He will meet our daily needs. And sometimes our wants are not always our needs. So praise God for abundance. Amen. Did you get that chicken yet, brother? Thank you, Jesus. It's time to quit. See, I was waiting till I knew Danny was back. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our sins. We go before God and say, God, forgive me, Jesus. Because I doubt if a day goes by when we haven't sinned in thought, word, or deed. Somehow, we've offended God. And, you know, forgive me, Jesus, for sins of ignorance even. You know, I've committed sins and been ignorant of it even, Lord. But forgive me. And like you said, forgive us our sins as we forgive. He says, if you don't forgive, you can't be forgiven. So we've got to keep a constant tab of people that we've got problems with. People that are like irritating. People that are like a burr under the saddle. People that every time their name's brought up, you go, rrr. And you know people like that. You may have to forgive them and forgive them and forgive them. And even though you don't feel it, I forgive you, I forgive you, I forgive you, I forgive you. And if you keep doing that one day, you'll be free. You will. He will free you of that. And then the devil will send another one. But I mean, you know, it's just constant. I don't know how biblical this is, but I'm going to say it anyway because I like it. I had to lean on this for a long time with a few people. But I'm free now, praise the Lord. I am so free. But it was Mylon Lefevre. He said, you know what? He said, you got to forgive everybody. He said, but you know what? He said, if every time you cut through somebody's backyard and a pit bull comes up and bites you on the butt, he said, you probably better stay out of their yard. So sometimes you've got to, you know, distance is not a bad thing sometimes, because if you don't heal, it's like if you got a bruise, you're gonna protect it, you know. You're going to try to keep it from getting hit again. So sometimes you've got to be in a place where you forgive from a distance even. And I'm not saying to shun people. You know, I'm not saying any of that. If it's in your own church, you definitely got to get it right, because it won't be long before you quit going to church there. Because, and you ever notice when you've got something against somebody or you've got unforgiveness, they don't even know it. You think you're hurting somebody, but really you're killing yourself. You're killing yourself. So don't do that. It's Bible, but it's also, you know, if you want to ruin your health, carry unforgiveness and bitterness around. It'd be the greatest way to destroy your heart, and eventually it'll destroy you. So don't do that. And pray every day, do not lead us into temptation. Of course, God doesn't lead us into temptation, but God, lead me down a path where keep me out of temptation. And when I do come against temptation, God, let me be able to turn away from it. What psalm was it? Psalm 119, it says, it was Proverbs. How can a young man protect his way? Proverbs, you really ought to read one of them every day too. And I wouldn't be up here telling you, misquoting a verse. So forgive me. But that's, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, which I guess would be Satan, wouldn't it? Who is the evil one? He's the head of all the demonic hordes, but deliver us from the evil one. This was a specific order. And that's the Lord's Prayer. And I would ask y'all that if you would please this week, try to start out every day for a week like this, you know. And then we'll pick it up again next week. But every day, start your day out with the Lord's Prayer. I mean, doing the Lord's Prayer. You can say it, because I'm sure you got it memorized, so you shouldn't have no problem calling all that up, right? Well, let's stand up. Please. I knew it was almost time for the rapture when I looked out this morning. Did y'all see this? I looked out on our property line. There was a big balloon going right over our property, man. Would you like to rapture on my beautiful balloon? Will you fly away with the king real soon?
Yeah.
Yeah. Jesus, I want to bless y'all. Lord, bless them going out. Bless them coming in, Father. Bless them with the goodness of the Lord. Bless them, God. Bless them with prosperity, God. Bless all their needs be met in the name of Jesus. God, rebuke the devourer off of these people that love you so much, God. Give them a greater love for you. Give us a greater love for each other, Jesus. And God, we do pray. Put your hand on your heart. Lord, I pray that your kingdom would come and your will would be done in my life, Jesus. That I would be the servant of God that you've called me to be, Jesus. Lord, I love you. Tell him, I love you, Jesus, but I need to love you more. I want to love you when I get up in the morning. I want to sing your praises all the day. And you're going to be the last thing I think about tonight before I go to sleep, Jesus. Lord Jesus, come quickly. Maranatha, Lord Jesus. If you need to get anything straight with Jesus, you know, if you've got sin in your life right now, if you've got things that constantly pull you away from God, strongholds, you need to get on your face and repent. I don't need to pray for you. You need to get on your face and repent. And let the blood of Jesus wash you and cleanse you and let you go out of here clean today. Wouldn't it be good to go out clean and start all over again today? You can do that. In Jesus' name, we bless you, Lord Jesus. We bless you. The altar's open. If you want to talk, go out in the hallway. Or is the feast open? Well, you don't know yet. They're working on it. Okay. Praise the Lord. If you'd like prayer for anything, please come up and receive prayer for anything.